Hello and welcome to my show, Could You Be More Specific? I'm your host, Jonathan Steele, coming to you by the way of the Stay Woke Podcast. Now, on this episode of Could You Be More Specific, I'm going to title it Why Hate, and the topics I'm going to cover are the recent incident that happened with Jussie Smollett and him being attacked. And then I'm also going to touch on Anthony Davis and all the recent news that's been going on in the NBA. But I'm going to start first with Jussie Smollett now. I know it's been a crazy past couple of days or so. Just one hearing about him being attacked earlier. And the fact that he was, walking out of a subway. Some of the reports I was looking through were saying. And two men who had masks on yelled racial and homophobic slurs at him. And then they attacked him. And he fought him. And then they poured bleach on him. Yeah, he ended up being sent to the hospital. One of the crazy things that continues to happen is that even when we knowingly are aware of what's happening and we see it, we still have people trying to pretend like they don't know what's going on. If you're the police and you hear someone yell racial and homophobic slurs, just call it a hate crime. I don't know why a report said that the police were looking into it as a possible hate crime, because once you say that, it's federal. And so that's a mandatory sentencing, but they targeted him. So I don't know why it was such a hesitation to even not go ahead and just go with that. You know, if it can be confirmed that they made racial and homophobic slurs and then they physically attacked him. And then I think one report was saying something about they ended up moving him, like they were able to grab him and they moved him, you know, I guess toward an alley. Which for some states that can be considered kidnapping because of the amount of feet that is deemed in that criteria of that. So you can literally add that on to that. You know, one of the more unfortunate things as, you know, we continue to see this stuff happening is that the biggest detail in this story, even beyond that, because we've always heard that, is the people that do this kind of stuff is the fact that they were wearing two MAGA hats. And obviously people are pretty well aware of what the meaning of them are, and the crowds of people that tend to perpetuate that and support that way of thinking of the whole America great again hats. And they usually tend to be people who are kind of access to grind for the most part. Because when you say make America great again, and you don't, I don't want to get too much off schedule with discussing that, is like, well, at what point was America great? That's a really sketchy thing to say. It's like you can aspire to be great, but if most of your country's history is based off brutalizing people, you may want to have a little bit more humility when you make statements of make America great again. Great for who? Who was it great for? And so just that, as an isolated point, is something that people got to think about. But in regards to, say, Jussie Smollett, what's even more complex about him is that, you know, not just him being a black man, but he's a gay black man, and he's got a huge following, and he's on a hit show, and he's someone that's very visible. So the idea that even if you were to play the card like, oh, they didn't know who he was, not to say that everyone mandatorily knows TV, but if you make a homophobic slur on top of a racial component aspect of it, and then you mention his show, it's pretty safe to say that it's a premeditated attack. So, because there would be no other way to describe that. Why would you have on mask and we wear the hat? So the idea that we kind of got to still keep dancing around that is just, it's disappointing. We already know that usually that's how that goes. Now, thankfully, he was able to, his injuries, you know, were not as bad as I think a lot of people was originally thinking they were, which is a good sign. I know he ended up getting discharged from the hospital, and that's a good sign, too. I know Fox, I believe, had received some letters making disparaging comments about him in the show. And now I know Fox is taking safety precautions to, one, work with the police, but also provide additional security for the cast while they work the show. I know this is definitely a bittersweet time for them, because just the day before, Taraji P. Henson got her star on the Walk of Fame. And I know that was a really great moment for her. So in a matter of 24 hours, to have that happen to someone who is on a show with her that's, you know, arguably her most pivotal role right now of her career, I know that's a lot for her to be experiencing too, as well as for the rest of the cast. I know Lee Daniels made a video, you know, just stating that, you know, his support of Jesse. Fox did as well. So hopefully they're able to find these two individuals, are brought up and prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law, because that's how these things got to happen. You know, if people want to have, you know, the rule of law and natural order, you can't keep doing selective justice. So those are just some of my thoughts I have on it at this point. I definitely want to try and follow back up on this real soon, because like a lot of stories, you know, in this information cycle, it's still coming in. So whatever you have on hand at this moment may not be there, or may not have as much context or information at this point. So this is something I definitely want to follow up on. So yeah, it's really sad, because this is the norm. It's not, you know, it's sad in the sense that I'm not surprised by it, nor is I think a lot of people aren't. So I think that's the most disappointing aspect of even talking about it, is the fact that I'm not surprised by it. Those are just some of my thoughts I had on that topic. I'm going to now kind of transition out of that and talk about Anthony Davis. Now, I know Anthony Davis is in the news because just the other day on a Monday morning, there was a press release that came through his agent, Rich Paul, stating that he had informed the New Orleans Pelicans that he wasn't going to sign his extension and that he had requested a trade. Now, I know it's been a pretty, you know, crazy sports world because, hey, it's the week of the Super Bowl, and usually Super Bowl coverage dominates. But when you have a player like Anthony Davis at the beginning of the week request a trade, that's a pretty huge news item. It's kind of crazy because before, you know, with all this stuff with tampering, it used to only apply to coaches and management, and they always wanted players to recruit other players. But for some reason now, it's kind of flipped, and now they don't even want players even mentioning other guys by name. That's how crazy it's gotten. And a lot of it is because of LeBron, and a lot of executives don't like LeBron because LeBron has created a new era and climate of player movement and player mobility, which is great for the league because they stay interesting all the time. And so when you hear a bunch of small market teams complain, like the Pelicans, that don't want to ask about tampering, it's, you know, it's crazy because a lot of these organizations, they don't know what they're doing more than half the time. And around the 2010 season with the Heat, when they formed that team, one of the things that was talked about then that the media never brought up at that point, and they don't bring them now, is that a lot of these guys know who has good organization structures and who doesn't. They know a lot of them are just one in it to just make the money, which is fine. But a lot of them are also poorly ran. So if you're a poorly ran franchise and you're getting a player on average anywhere from 7 to 8 years, how much time do I have to give you for you to build a team? People forget the Knicks have not won an NBA title in, like, I think 45 years. Was it 74 was the last time? I could be wrong. I have to ask D off the top of my head. I'll just have to check that again. But it's been like well over four decades since they've won a title. The Lakers haven't won since 2010. They're officially more than likely going to go this whole decade without winning a title. But by the way these GMs and some of these guys be complaining, you would think that the Lakers and Knicks and big market teams are going on their fourth and fifth titles in a row. It's not them. It's actually the Warriors. You know. And again, it goes down to bad management. And I love to kind of touch on this with D too, because he and I have talked about sports too. It's like, for example, I'll argue this with anyone. The Milwaukee Bucks have put together a better team around Giannis than the Pelicans have in the amount of years they've had Anthony Davis, and Giannis is much younger. got a number one seeded team. So that lets you know that they know what they're doing. They're drafting well. They're developing their players. And now they have a real squad around them. It's going to be much harder for Giannis to leave Milwaukee because they're doing their jobs versus the Pelicans and what they've done with Anthony Davis. So for all this whining about Boogie Cousins, for example, if the Pelicans overpaid him and gave him a 1 year $15 million or 1 year $20 million because they could have, because they had him for a year and a half so they can exceed the luxury tax to keep him, the Warriors supposedly being a slam dunk to win that title now is not an issue. It's at least still insurmountable, but somewhat a topic you can talk about. They were one game away from being eliminated last year. No one signs Boogie. The Lakers could have signed Boogie. The contract that they offered Lance Stephenson, they could have got DeMarcus Cousins for $4.5 million for the mid-level exception. They didn't offer it because they didn't want to pay him the rehab. Okay, fine. Well, is it the Warriors' fault that they know what they're doing and they know how to put together teams and you don't? I don't understand that. Like, I just saw another story say, hey, what more can we do to help small market teams? I'm like, what do you mean, what more can you do? You already give them contracts. You already have the contract set up to where it's in their financial best interest to stay with their team for 7 to 8 years. So you're getting them for 8 years or seven. What more do you want? I don't understand that. You would not keep a player who was mediocre for 8 years, for additional years. You wouldn't do that. So I just don't understand all this whining that a lot of these NBA execs do. And it's come to the point where a lot of guys just they don't want to just stay in the city because they're obligated to stay in the city. You know, so for the Lakers, the best way for them to do the trade, and I probably would like to go and hash this out, they're going to have a third team involved. Because they just don't really have the salaries to really mathematically match up to Anthony Davis' salary. I remember a three-team trade had been proposed at one point. Someone did a mock assimilation where they can bring in the Orlando Magic, and because Vucevic for them wasn't going to be on the team no more, they could do a three-team trade where they can get him and then they can get Lonzo and Brandon, or if anything, they can then have Lonzo go to another team in the deal. But that would be something that would be of an interesting thing. But I just, all this complaining in the NBA about tampering, and now we're at the point where we're attacking players from recruiting other players. That's what players have been doing the past 10 years. CJ McCollum tried to recruit Boogie Cousins in the podcast when he was complaining to Kevin Durant. Oh, I tried to call him. Well, no one said anything about tampering then. Because he was a free agent. I guess you can say that. But they were advocating for Carmelo. They've been doing this for years. This is nothing new. Your team being terrible has more to do with you not being to keep somebody than someone tampering. It's pretty obvious. So those are just some of the thoughts I had on that topic. I'm definitely going to have to touch on that more real soon. But I know the trade deadline's coming up real soon, so I have to hit up D, and I thank him for all the work that he's been doing on the show. But me and him definitely going to have to talk about that real soon. So I definitely want to thank all you guys for listening to the show. Definitely continue to like, share, follow, support us from becoming a patron. Got more episodes of Could You Be More Specific coming real soon. I'm your host, Jonathan Steele. Thank you for listening to the show. Continue to follow the Stay Woke podcast, and I hope you guys have a good one.